We are live on the Side Quest Royal Rumble Edition. This is what it's all come down to. The winner of this battle between Aaron and I gets to go to E3. We hope you choose wisely. How's it going, Aaron?
It's going all right. It's been an interesting week. Yeah, it's been an interesting week. It's finally cold.
And interesting. Is it finally cold by you guys? Okay.
Yeah.
That's good. How was it, like, just like mild up until now?
Yeah, global warming's a hell of a thing. Used to be you get halfway through October and it would be below zero, and these days it takes until about February, and this last week was finally regularly below zero, which is freezing.
Oh, geez.
So it's much more mild in the beginning of winter these days, which is terrifying, because that means, you know, if it stays mild longer, that means migratory insects and whatnot tend to move into temperatures, and we don't have anything like brown recluses like that America has, especially not that far away from our borders. So if it's going to be temperate longer.
Oh boy. Yeah,
so I don't want that. So
no.
If it keeps going, it's like I might just try and find a house with good internet much farther north.
Keep heading. You drinking anything on a school night?
No, I just woke up like an hour ago.
Lucky you. I'm drinking some of the peanut butter whiskey. It's good. It's actually good. Yeah, it's got a little bit of sweetness to it. I've been having a pounding headache all day because I kind of cut down on my coffee over the last few days. And that kind of the removal of caffeine is starting to hit me. So I'll supplant that with alcohol. Let's get into some of the news right off the bat, and then, like you said, then we'll go right into what we've been playing. I'll let you start the news. Anything happen this week?
There's a couple of interesting things. Hey, you remember that Cyberpunk game?
Mm-hmm.
Put out by CD Projekt.
I heard of it.
They officially released the ability for modders to make their own tools.
Oh,
so they didn't put out modding tools, you know?
Like
other games have done, but they put out official, essentially, support for modders to make their own modding tools.
I'm going to guess this is going to go terribly wrong immediately.
Oh, I'm sure. But I just think it's kind of funny because it's like, you know, January, like this past month, and February were supposed to be two big patches to fix the game. And something tells me that patch number one didn't fix the game. I don't think patch number two is going to fix the game. So.
Oh, no.
It just feels like CD Projekt Red's like, yeah, you guys can.
Patch number one actually broke part of the game, didn't it?
Yeah, of course it did.
Yeah. Couldn't cast a spot. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I've paused playing that game until enough patches come in, because I've started to hear a few crazy things. So Cyberpunk. Cyberpunk is Cyberpunk. That was the story for December. What else you got in there? Your bag of tricks.
What else do I have? Let me have a look through here.
Do you have stonks in that list at all?
I don't, because I only barely understand this.
Okay.
We can talk about it, because I kind of
understand. I'll let you go. You want me to go first the stonks, then we go into your...
Well, let me hit this one, because this one's relevant to our show last week.
All right.
So we recorded last week, and at the very end of the show, we talked about how Xbox Live was upping their prices for Xbox Live Gold.
Yes.
We finished that show, and I shit you not, 12 minutes later after we finished the show, they came out and said that, actually, we're not changing the price. Don't worry about it. And we're making all the free-to-play games free. And, just go, oh God, please. We're sorry.
They watch our show, obviously, you know, so... Because we went right down the hit list of things that they need to do to improve. You got to make free-to-play games not require, a Xbox Live. I mean, right now, here's what has always bothered me about, like, Xbox Live, and I think Sony does the same thing, Nintendo does the same thing, is that you need to, like, let's say you're playing Call of Duty. I was playing Modern Warfare a few weeks back. Great game. Play Modern Warfare. You turn on the Xbox, or the PlayStation in my case. You log into PSN, and then... when you start up Modern Warfare or some other online game, it says, hey, you need an Activision account to actually play online. I'm thinking, well, why? I'm already logged in to Xbox Live or PlayStation. I'm like, why do I need to log in yet again? You have my name. You have my information. what is this extra layer? And I think there's even like one more layer deep on a couple other games. Like you have to log in, they need to log into your guild. And so, yeah, they need to make that whole process a little bit easier.
Well, I just don't understand. Like I can understand that prompt the first time.
Sure.
But then like, why isn't that just saved into your console? You know what I mean? Like why attach that login to your account so that when you log in, you're logged in. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like it's ridiculous.
I agree with you.
All right. What else do I got? Dragon Age 4.
Oh,
a little bit of news for that. They released Dragon Age 4. What locations the game is going to take place in.
Mm-hmm.
And TLDR, everybody was pretty much right guessing that it would be into winter.
Oh, okay.
Which, if anybody's played Dragon Age, the previous Dragon Age Inquisition, that's where Dorian was from.
Oh, all right. See, I started the first Dragon Age, and I hadn't touched a Dragon Age game after that. So really, 15 minutes of Dragon Age is all I have
in
my repertoire. I need to get into it, obviously. Some people just love it.
There's also artwork teasing a bunch of other locations, like Antiva, which is where Zevran is from the first game. He's that assassin.
Aren't those the people that are supposedly riding everywhere, Antiva? Oh, no, it's a different group.
It's a different group. So I don't know. It just seems like Dragon Age 4 might be a little more globe-trottery.
Okay. That'd be kind of fun, actually. Makes it a bigger world.
Well, yeah. I mean, it was weird because, you know, Dragon Age Inquisition took place on this one map.
Mm-hmm.
For Elden. And then Dragon Age 2 essentially took place in one city, which was like on the border of For Elden. And then Dragon Age Inquisition technically took place across two countries, but really it took place in your fucking castle and you just sort of did, you know, missions in these different places and it never really came together as being like, oh yeah, no, I'm over here in this completely different country. So, I don't know. I've been waiting for Dragon Age 4. I've been waiting a long time. I'm going to play it.
You're a big Dragon Age fan then, I take it.
I am, yeah. I really like those games.
I'll see if I get you a review copy.
To varying degrees.
Okay.
I liked Inquisition. I really liked the first one. The second one, nobody likes. I've still played through it twice.
All right, okay.
What else I got? Oh, hey. Hey, you remember... I'll do this one too, and then we'll get into stocks.
Okay.
Because just it's relevant to our shows from before.
Sure.
Hey, remember how I've got a list of things that I like to bring up over and over again to shame companies and do bad things? So Riot Games, they don't want to do a class action loss settlement in court anymore. It seems like they figured out it's not going to go well for them. So now they want to force everybody into arbitration.
Oh, geez.
For everybody who doesn't remember, Riot Games faced essentially mass gender discrimination lawsuits. Because their company culture sucks. And it was a big deal for weeks and weeks and weeks. And then everything sort of went quiet as they went to figure that stuff out. And nobody's heard from them. Like nobody's heard anything about it for a long time. So it maybe seemed like everything was being dealt with. And turns out now they want to do arbitration. Instead of letting courts say, no, you fucked up. This is how you make reparations. They want to be able to say, we don't really think we fucked up. Here's a little bit of money.
Riot.
Because that's essentially arbitration.
They make great games, but man, that business culture over there just doesn't seem like it's good at all.
Whew, yeah,
Lordy.
From everything, it seems like they have a very 90s culture about them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Anyway, so how about them stonks?
How about them stonks?
This is the craziest fucking story I've ever heard.
Yeah, so let me give you just a quick little bit of background to help our non-American friends who maybe haven't been following it as closely as we have. Typical way that there's this thing called shorts, and I know very little about a lot of this stuff. It's just Wikipedia for me. Like almost 100% of everybody on Twitter right now who's become a sudden stock expert, they've Wikipedia'd it or they've learned from Twitter or Facebook. Essentially, there's these big hedge funds, these big investment groups that will they try to force in a way how they buy and sell. They try to force a stock price to go low and then or to go high. Then they dump it and then they wait for it to go low again. So when it drops, yes, definitely. Stefan's listening to us. They'll wait for that price to go down and then they'll reinvest again. And it's just a way for them to continually get the best price for a stock. And it's really to increase their influence. And it kind of, go ahead.
I was just going to say, and it's gross, but with that description, it's like, all right, I can kind of see how that would happen. I can kind of see where this gets insane is that with shorts, you're not actually selling or buying stocks. You're pretending to sell or buy stocks.
Yes.
So imagine that you have 100 of a stock. Mm-hmm. A hedge fund might say, all right, I'm going to pretend to sell 100 of this stock. Mm-hmm. But all these other hedge funds are also saying, I'm going to pretend to sell 100 of this stock. Mm-hmm. There's only 100 of the stock, but now there's 500 of these stocks sold.
Yep.
Sold. There's not 500 of the stocks. Mm-hmm. And that's where this story picks up.
Yep. And so you have these things called retail investors. Basically, any dude who wants to sign up for an account online on any myriad websites or app to say, I want to buy a stock. So they called retail investors, individual investors who banded together on Reddit. This all kind of started a couple of years ago, really, with a YouTuber. Of course, always starts with a YouTuber saying, hey, if we work together, we can actually influence this price to go up in a way, because he was kind of pissed off, rightfully so in a lot of ways, at these short sellers. Shorting is everybody hates when their stock gets shorted because it doesn't rely at all on the performance of the company. It's literally a gambling, a way to gamble for these big giant hedge funds. And so this YouTuber and all these other retail investors, they built up Wall Street Bets, which is the Reddit site. And they said, hey, let's band together. We will all buy this stock and we'll continue buying this stock at a low price. Everybody shorted it. All these hedge funds shorted it. We'll keep buying it low. And that will actually drive the price up because it'll show that there's interest. And so the price was ticking up. And then finally, December wasn't the biggest. There were some nice kind of jumps in December. It really was the third or fourth week of January, last week essentially, where the price went from like, 20, 30 bucks, 40 bucks all the way to, I think it was at 350 on like Saturday. It's at like 312 right now. I think it got to like 490 at one point, almost 500.
Yeah, it jumped. It was like a one-day jump of
massive and reports. It was bonkers. And all of a sudden, because it did it, all these hedge funds that shorted and claimed to be buying later on were suddenly losing billions of dollars because they didn't have the money to back up the fact that they were going to rebuy these.
And the reason that that's important is because when you're doing that process that I just described, it's all based on the idea that you are essentially legally bound to purchase those stocks if you don't then turn around and sell the imaginary stocks that you bought. Exactly. So all of these retail investors, when they got together and bought all of the actual stocks, they bought the actual 100 in my example.
Actual stocks.
That means that there's no, and then they sat on them, which means that there's no actual stocks for these short stockers to turn around and then buy. So essentially there's no way for them to fulfill their commitment that they made, which means they're either going to have to buy these stocks from the people who bought them
at really high prices.
Yep. At high prices and lose shitloads of money, or they're breaking the law.
Yep.
So
and right now it's the former. They're kind of going bankrupt or getting very near to go bankrupt. A lot of these hedge funds are now getting these big money injections from other supporting funds and stuff. And so it's been really insane to watch. It started with GameStop because, again, YouTuber, someone who obviously knew about games and knew what was happening with the way they were shorting GameStop. And that also spilled over into other stocks, AMC, COS, Nokia. I mean, all these stocks had these big jumps last week, even to the point where Dogecoin, 85 shares that I bought at, I think, less than 2 cents. So my 85 shares are now worth a whopping $2 from the dollar that I paid for them. Nice. Whatever. Something stupid like that. People now said, shit, if all these folks are going to band together and buy these stocks while they're at these low prices, that's going to drive this price up.
So there's an important step in there.
Yes. Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah.
The reason that everybody's reacting to what's happening is because all of the people who are banding together to buy these stocks are then saying, no, we're not going to sell.
Yep.
We're just going to, sit on
hold to the moon is what they're saying, to the moon, which is driving that diamond hands they're calling, driving that price all the way freaking up. Their goal is to get it to 1,000 on GameStop. I mean, that would be the cherry on top for these retail investors. So it's been an absolutely intriguing story to follow. Has absolutely nothing to do with GameStop as a company, because they're laying off people nonstop. They're shuttering stores. This isn't going to help them at all. It's not like people are, you know, flocking to stores to buy those Funko Pops and the Think Geek shirts, you know. But this is it's definitely put some eyes on the company, so maybe in a weird way it'll help them out. But it's hurting the hedge funds, and so yeah, it's going to be real interesting to see what happens this week.
I don't have the actual numbers in front of me, but I think the current projected losses of the hedge funds is something like $4.5 billion.
Billions of dollars.
Wow. Yeah. Like it's crazy. Yeah,
it really is. It really is. So it's been fun to follow.
Well, and the addendum to that story is that, so this is all happening, and now all of these different companies that allow you to buy and sell stocks are essentially locking down stocks because they're all of a sudden Wall Street's throwing a fit.
Yeah.
Like, Wall Street investors are out there.
There you go. There you go. There's a movie already in the works. Of course, there's a movie already in the works. Yeah. So Robinhood, Webull, a bunch of other sites, Cash App, I think, lets you do it too. Robinhood has kind of been in the target right now and the sites for everybody because they were the first ones that shut down purchases. And even today, just opening up the Robinhood app, because like I said, I got Dogecoin. I think I bought like 6 shares of AMC. For the hell of it, we don't report on AMC at all. So we talk movies. So out of full disclosure, I bought 6 shares of AMC. But just to kind of see how it goes. But I don't own any GameStop or anything like that. So what's interesting is that Robinhood again today has shut down further purchases. They've limited the amount of purchases of like GameStop and AMC and Nokia and everything else that you can purchase. Like I think they did it with Dogecoin earlier in the week. They did it to basically
every remotely affiliated.
Yes. And so which that to me is a whole other layer on this crying onion problem of what's happening here. And you have the apps just can't back up their processes. So I think Robinhood's going to get into a lot of trouble. Well, they probably are.
Oh, sorry. Well, Robinhood is the one that Robinhood is the name that everybody is basically coming to because their whole motto, I guess, was that they were the app for regular investors too. Yep. And so now all of a sudden regular investors are making theoretically billions of dollars.
Exactly what they're doing. Right.
And it's like, oh, we can't do, they're making money and it's bad for the real billionaires. So we're locking everything down. So all of that is what is causing all of these people who have bought GameStop and other companies shares to just say, no, we're just going to sit on it. Fuck all of y'all.
Yeah. Fuck it. We ain't going to get rid of it. So I'm going to watch it, see how it goes this next week or so. I think it's going to have I don't know how big of an effect it'll have on the overall market because people thought, oh, it's going to actually affect. I don't think it will. And again, the stock market does not reflect the economy, no matter what people say.
I would argue this proves it doesn't.
This proves it doesn't affect the economy. Thankfully, you know, this shined a light on that fact. So whatever. It's going to be fun to watch over the next week and see how things start to shake out. Do I think it'll hit 1,000? I don't think so, especially with the shenanigans that Robinhood and some of the other apps are doing. But it's truly fascinating to see hedge funds get their asses to them, handed to them by a bunch of kids. I call them kids only because they're probably younger than me, although I wouldn't I'm not gonna say that there's not millionaires throwing money at this, because there probably are millionaires throwing money at GameStop stock right now and other companies too, because they can, because they are, you know, the Elon Musks of the world. I think the kid who plays Carl on The Walking Dead was even involved in this thing too. So it's just like, it's been just one domino roller coaster after another. But
yeah.
All right. What else is in the news?
I got one more technically.
One more? Okay. Go ahead.
So the official Tomb Raider account released a video because it's the 25th anniversary of Tomb Raider. And they basically released just like an amalgam video from their community manager and like some of the less camera scene positions. Talking about stuff. And two bits of news sort of came out of it. Bit number one, they don't have a new game officially like ready to announce at all yet. But going forward, they want to make their games like they want to merge the two game series. So they consider the last three games that just came out to essentially be the origin story, and all the games before that were like the middle of the road. Like, this is after the origin story. Like, there's her job. She's really good at it. And so they want their next game to be a merging of those. So set sometime in the future, and which I thought was interesting. And the other bit of news is that there's an animated series coming to Netflix.
Yep. Yeah, it's true. Yep. Yep. I'm kind of interested there in that because Netflix signed a bunch of series. I think that one, Godzilla, they're actually, or Kong, whatever. They're throwing a lot of money into the video game IPs to get them on Netflix. I think that's smart on their behalf because it really does give them all these IPs to work with. They've done a pretty decent job so far with the gaming stuff. Castlevania, I've liked, for instance. So, yeah, they got Assassin's Creed coming. They got Tomb Raider. They've got, you know, you name it. And I think it's basically on its way over there. So good on Netflix for supporting it. I mean, they can't get comics, right? The Marvel and DC have taken that stuff away. Maybe they can get some Image stuff. They've already got, but Amazon signed The Boys and some other things.
Yeah.
They're kind of out of luck with comics a little bit, but they can get video games, which those IPs are. They're waiting for it. I mean, remember there was a rumor a while ago that there would be this Game of Thrones style Zelda game.
Well, so it's interesting because it really, like, you know, this time a handful of years ago, they were announcing that they were doing out of nowhere, almost a Castlevania animated series. And everybody was like, that's going to be good. And then that turned out to be amazing.
Yeah. It turned out really
good. That Castlevania animated series is great.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I like it. Like it.
So fingers crossed.
Yeah, cool. And that's it for news.
Yeah.
Oh, we're getting more.
I was just gonna say the reason that I saved that one for last is because since last week I have now played all of the Tomb Raider games.
You've played all the Tomb Raider games, the three new ones.
So when we talked last week, I think I was halfway through or had just beaten Tomb Raider.
Yeah.
So after that show, I was sitting there and then I said, I bet those are on sale somewhere. So I poked around and they were, Humble Bundle has their winter sale still going. So, so I looked and sure enough, they had the next two Tomb Raider games. There's three in the series. And I said, yeah, okay, I'll buy those. I then sat down and played straight through the second game.
In like one sitting, or
it was like two sittings.
Wow. Nice.
Like two sittings. And the sittings were basically broken up into, played right through to where it says this is the point of no return, and then I went to bed, and then I went to work, and then I came home and finished the game. And now I'm for the third game, I'm 50% complete.
Okay.
Which that percentage is all of the side stuff, and I tend not to be super aggro about the side stuff. So I'm probably through. I would probably guess I'm 3/4 of the way through that game now.
Okay.
So nice. That game's not great.
Yeah, that's what I've heard about that. And I think they said it kind of veers off in weird places.
Yeah, it really does. It really, really does. The first two games were really good, and playing them back to back was interesting because despite the fact that there's some minor changes and you essentially get your character reset, it really felt like one game. Like mechanically, it played like very, like they both play really well. And it felt.
Stefan says the hub world is way too big.
In the third one, yeah, it is. Yeah. It's huge. It's ridiculous. But and in the second one too, a little bit.
Do they change the mechanics at all of the games?
Not really.
No.
Like it's a lot of the same stuff. What they do change is the way your skills work. Especially in the third game. In the third game, they've basically got all your skills laid out into three categories, which is normal, but then they totally change the layout and they add a bunch of skills and they break a bunch of skills down. And it, it takes a lot more work to get your character, where you want your character basically than it did in the first two games. And the big change is, they changed, like, it's way easier to die in the third game. Like the puzzles are just, like some of like the timing on some of the, there's a lot of moving parts in the puzzles instead, like in, like you pop open a tomb and it's like, oh, you stepped on this rock and it set up this big, essentially metal, like blender of death. And you've got to, you know, jump over the pieces as they rotate around and then get over here to tie a thing down and stop it. And if that was in the first or second game, it would be much more clear what the timing on jumping over those blades was and all the little incidentals you have to do. And in this game, it's just like, oh, I'm gonna try and jump over this thing. Oh, it nicked my foot somehow, and I died. Or I tried to jump from this platform to this platform, and despite the fact that my character is telegraphed, like the game is programmed to telegraph which direction you have to jump into. So, like, if you're jumping, like, you know, left to right, your character will lean. And it's like, despite the fact that she's leaning, oh, I just jumped off and just jumped straight off the wall and down into a wall and died. Just like, there's a lot of little stuff like that that just makes the third game not feel so great.
I have not played any of the three Tomb Raider games. I think I have them all on like PSN or whatever the equivalent is. I think Xbox Gold, Games Gold, all that kind of stuff. So I own them. They're all part of it in some way or another. And I haven't touched them. How different are they from like Uncharted? I
guess. No, it's Uncharted. They're Uncharted.
They're Uncharted. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
They're Uncharted to the point that one of her outfits is essentially Nathan Drake's clothing.
Oh, that's cool. You know what? I've been missing Uncharted. I've still got to finish Lost Legacy. I'm only like halfway through Lost Legacy, but I've got to play that. So, and I've been looking for, cause I really love the Uncharted series. So, okay, cool. All right. I'm excited about this now. And then the future Indiana Jones game that'll eventually come out. Which is kind of funny, by the way, the next month's games with gold includes like February's games with gold includes the Indiana Jones game, the free game you get.
These are very much an Uncharted game. The furthest one away from that is probably the first one, and that's only really conceptually. Like gameplay wise, it's that style of game. Story wise, it's sort of off the path because it's less a Tomb Raider game and more a holy shit, how are we going to survive this game?
Okay, all right.
Like the setup for the first game is that she's an archaeology student. And this is her first big thing. Mm-hmm. Like she's got theories and stuff, and that's why they go to where the story happens. But she's never done this before, so it's all of a sudden all the bad shit happens, and she's like a 21-year-old university student. Like she's not the Tomb Raider.
This is what archaeology is. Great. Okay. All right. Tomb Raider. I'll get into them.
Those games are definitely worth playing.
But wasn't like the third one. I still remember the third one getting revealed by or getting spoiled or revealed or something by some kid who had looked over between the aisles of an airplane plane trip and seeing like the WB dude have his laptop open.
Have his laptop. Yeah, totally. Yeah. They get progressively more ridiculous.
Story-wise.
The first one is 95% the game, and then 5%, like call it 5%, like mystical weirdness.
Okay.
As those games are, you know, want to do. That's
here. That style is, sure.
The second one is a lot more of the mystical weirdness, but still, it's a nice even balance with like theoretically believable reasons for why the mystical weirdness is happening in some cases. You know, like hallucinogenic plants or whatever, right?
Sure. Yeah.
And then the third one is just like, oh, hey, we're gonna raid this tomb. And then, picking this thing up from this tomb starts the apocalypse.
Of course.
And that's the setup for the game. And you're just like, that's not spoilers. That's just the setup for the game. And you're just like, oh, this is slightly different to what I've been playing up until now. But yeah, so that's what I've been playing. I've been playing all of the Tomb Raider.
Nice. Good series. Okay, I'm gonna you've twisted my arm to get into them. It's just where am I gonna find the time with all the other crap? Well, have you been playing anything else or?
No, that's pretty much it. I'll tell you this right now. Yeah. If you don't really try to 100% the first game, I beat that game in like 10 hours.
Okay. See, that's the perfect length of a game for me. Let's see. I'm checking Tomb Raider on the how long to beat, my favorite ones. Yeah, 11 and a half hours is the average amount of time to complete that first game.
Yep.
And then you had, what was the Rise of the Tomb Raider was the second one?
That's the second one. That one took a little bit
longer, 13.
A little bit longer because that one is the first of the trio that has a hub world.
Okay. All right.
Like you keep, it keeps sort of looping you back into this one central area. And then from there you branch off and go end up doing other stuff and then it'll funnel you back. And
the third one's same around 13 hours. What is the, what's been your favorite so far of the three?
I like the first one.
First one. Okay.
Yeah. I thought I like the first one because, I like origin stories. I really enjoy origin stories for the most part. But the first one is just the first one's unique.
Sure.
I thought it was very cool that the character that you're playing is not an established badass and doesn't act like an established badass in the game. Mm-hmm. There's real character depth in that first one. Like she's like you're doing shit because it's a video game. And then, you know, it's like you're running through an area and there's a bunch of bad guys. And like, what are you going to do? Well, obviously, you got to kill the fucking bad guys.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because they're trying to kill you. But then in the game, she's got like onset PTSD because she's a student having to kill all these people. And it's really fucking her up as you play through the game, which is interesting. And then that's not so much a factor in the second and third game. A little bit in the second game, but not really. A little bit in the third game, but not really. She gets over shit way quicker, especially in the third game. It's almost off-putting. But in the first game, the first game is really good. I really like that first game.
Nice, 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 nice.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, well, we got a couple more comments here. Taylor says, ignore most of the side stuff. It's a nice, concise pace.
Yep.
That's good to know. He says, I bought side questing with all my stonks money. Yeah, get Aaron. Get the fuck out of here. And then he also says, Dally's smiling and scrolling Reddit. I was on Reddit. No, I'm just kidding. I was smiling and looking at shit though. I was looking at how long to beat for, for a Tomb Raider. So, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. That one comment about that storyline just being dropped. That's absolutely like in the second game. Like that's not really a factor.
Yeah.
Like it's mostly just assumed that she has done it and dealt with it. There's a time skip of like 2 years or something like that.
Okay.
Which I thought which would have made that second game way better, probably.
Well, all right. 10, 20 hours. It's about as long as the game it's about as long as it usually takes me to complete an 8 hour game. So it sounds about right. 40 hours. We'll see. I've been diving more into Outer World because I played, I mentioned it last week a little bit, was kind of a couple hours into it yet last week and wasn't noticing anything crazy on the Twitch, you know, or on the Switch, sorry. It seemed to function pretty well. This week, I've got to say, I am definitely noticing where they made those concessions to get this game to run on the Switch. Because when you're up close to someone, they look generally okay. The minute you're like standing, you know, 2 feet in game away from someone, then their faces become just horrendously pixelated and the anti-aliasing just gets ratcheted up a bunch and it starts to look kind of like mud essentially. To the point where there's a couple scenes, I think there's like the second major area you're in is on this big ship station place called the Groundbreaker, I think is what it's called. And you have to go into the bay, kind of this lower bay level area and steal a radiator or pieces or something, some parts for a machine. And you get attacked by these nomads, these bad dudes, and you start shooting them, but they're impossible to kind of find, you know, to see as they blend in so much of their background because it's so freaking muddy that on the Switch, it's pretty bad. I'm sure it's better on other consoles, but on other devices, but it's kind of bad on the Switch. And I don't like the controls. I'll say it at that point. I did have to turn the motion controls on for the Switch because what I meant, it's essentially this motion assisted aiming because much like other games where you kind of make your initial motion with the stick and then you can fine tune with the Switch's pad or the game, you know, the actual console or the pro controller. That's the only way to play games, I feel, on the Switch that are kind of like this, you know, is being able to do those fine little tweaks to shooting, because it was not, it doesn't control super well. So anyways, still liking it, still a fun game. It's it's not much. God, I don't want to sound horrible. I don't want to really put it down. It's not much more than a Fallout game in space. Well, and a basic Fallout game in space. And I'm not driven by anything in it. It's like, hey, you have to. So the premise is you awaken early on the ship and you have to figure out a way to awaken everybody else on the ship, because you guys overslept by like 70 or 100 years, some crazy number. And so that's your goal. Wake up everybody else. And but you have to kind of fly around to different planets, different ships to find the right people. Tear it to shreds. To find the right people that can help you to awaken everybody, get this stuff going. So it's not gripping by any means. You can kind of, the nice thing about it is you can get companions, which again, it's very Fallout-ish. And this game does play so much like Fallout New Vegas that I maybe don't have to play Fallout New Vegas anymore.
Well, I just want to quickly interject.
Yeah.
This game was on my Game of the Year 2019 list.
Okay.
And I just want to throw the opening line to that paragraph out here. This was a game that I thought played very well, built around a story that I would have enjoyed a decade ago.
Exactly. Bingo. Nailed it. Yep. Thank you. It's come so far since then. And I think, was it Obsidian that developed this?
I believe so. This was an Obsidian joint, yeah?
I think so. Whatever. They were probably sitting on this as a Fallout game or version of Fallout. They're like, fuck it, let's just put this out now. Let's tweak it slightly and put it out. So,
it's fine.
It's fine. It's, you know what? And again, it's not a 10, not a 10 out of 10. It's not a 9 out of 10. And it's probably about a 7.5 out of 10, which is in that sweet spot for me. It's the, I don't have to overexert myself. I don't have to get emotionally attached to anything. I can just kind of take the game at my own pace. And I like it for that. So Outer Worlds. Yeah, Outer Worlds. And then I've also played the Hitman Trace. Mm. I played on the Switch. Because I'm not going to have a time to play, to really get into it yet. So I figured the Switch version lets you download. It's streamed on the Switch, right? So I was curious to see what it looked like. Because I did that with Control. Control actually looked like the PS4 version, surprisingly, in really good shape. And so I'm like, let me try it with Hitman 3. And it streams it. And I was right near my Wi-Fi router. I didn't have any issues from that standpoint. It's only when you kind of like get further away or you're not connected, like with a hard wire to stream something. And I don't know what company that, who is it? WB or
it's IO, isn't it?
IO Interactive. Oh, that's right. They have full control of it now. Yeah. Okay. I don't know who they're using for their streaming partnership, but they're definitely not in the US because their main page, when you log onto the Switch, open the app up, it's in like broken English. It has, it's a little hard to follow. And, anyways, visually, surprisingly looks like it does on the other consoles, PS4, Xbox One, obviously not in 4K or anything, but and it worked fine on the Switch. Like again, when I was right up close to my Wi-Fi router, the minute I started moving further away and got into a different room, I definitely noticed some of the choppiness. The Switch, I think, is still on like what's the old Wi? I think they're like on a 56K modem is how fast things run. It's what it feels like half the time when you're playing online on Switch, and so yeah, it's not the best. Wi-Fi chip on this console. They need to upgrade this thing, or they need to allow for a better landlined version of this thing, or partner with Microsoft. Just do that. Partner with Microsoft, get Project X Cloud on this and call it a day. So anyways,
I mean,
it functioned fine. And it actually played fine. And it kind of makes me wish for Splinter Cell, like Blacklist I liked, and some of the other Splinter Cell games, which I think a few folks are saying. So, you know, for what it's worth, I wouldn't recommend playing it on the Switch at all. But the little bit that I was able to play, because they kind of give you like this demo time of like 15 minutes, which is really stupid. It's essentially logging into the game, running through the opening cinematic, and then that's it. But you could play it a couple times. It played real. It's a fun ass game. So
let me ask you. I want your professional opinion on something.
Sure.
So we didn't really cover it in the news, just because it's one of those stories that's not very interesting to talk about. Hitman 3 came out on Epic Game Store. The previous Hitmans have been on other platforms on PC. Yep. So there's been some flack there. One of the things that Epic and IO did to mitigate that is they added Hitman 1 and 2 content. They added as a pass on Epic, and it's currently on sale. It currently retails for $100. It's in Canadian for me, so I'm trying to convert in my head. Something like $100. It's expensive. But since it came out, I lost Dally. Dally, no, come back. Dally, I need you. Dally. Nah, it's fine. I'll just keep talking.
Oh, sorry about that. Yeah, sorry.
I was lamenting the fact that you were gone.
$100. Okay.
And so it's $100. Since they released that, it's been on sale for 80% off. So it's actually like $20 for that pass. I've been sitting here looking at it. I've never played one of these Hitman games. So I'm sitting here thinking, I don't really want to buy Hitman 3 right now. But the 80% off sale for this pass for the content from Hitman 1 and 2 ends in like 2 days. So should I buy that now?
It's pretty awesome. So I'm looking at the prices. What I was trying to do was open up a new tab, and I actually hit the reload page. So I'm a dumbass. Hitman 3 by itself, $60. The pass, let's see here. I'm trying to look at this. The individual passes, the Hitman 2 expansion pass is $7.99. And I'm assuming it's the same for Hitman 1. So, for the US, it's, you're looking at like $80, somewhere on there, $75, maybe somewhere on there. Yeah, I would do it. Shit, dude. They're great games from just playing a little bit of Hitman 3. Everybody raves about them. I think it's Tom Johnson's one of his favorite series at the moment.
Yeah. I'm not sure what the bundles are in the States. It's a single bundle. If I'm looking at it,
so you have a single bundle. That's nice. Okay.
So there's multiple bundles, but they're for different levels of access. But there's no differentiating like what that means. So
is
like
it the deluxe edition, is that what it's?
So the one I'm looking at right now is Hitman 3 Access Pass, Hitman 2 Gold, and then the description line is the Hitman 3 Access Pass the Hitman 3 Access Pass system allows you to access Hitman 1 and Hitman 2 locations in Hitman 3. But they all say
They all say that. Okay, that's interesting. So, yeah. So it is. It's holy shit. Normally in the US that is $99.99.
Yep.
It's now $19.99 for the Access Pass
for the next 2 days. So I'm looking at it.
So it's $80 for the full game.
So I've been looking at that going like, I know I don't really want to play Hitman 3 right now. I'm just like, I'm not in a mood to try a hand game. But what happens if down the road I buy it and like it and I don't want to pay $100 for the fucking first two games? Should I just buy the pass now knowing that I can't play those games without Hitman 3 and then have it just like in the back pocket when inevitably I buy Hitman 3 somewhere down the road? That is my question that I've been wrestling with.
It's tough right now. Yeah, I mean, Hitman 3 will go on sale eventually, right?
That is the tough question. It's like, well, do I throw down, do it? Do I not? I don't know. I got another day or so to decide.
Yeah, I think till the 3rd.
Something like that.
Well, good luck deciding that. You know what? Yeah. Hey, guess what? That's it. We're going to make Vince McMahon happy because we're going to stop with the podcast. We were aiming for a half hour, but we lasted 45 minutes. So,
well, I wasn't planning to talk about stonks, but then we talked about stonks.
Yeah.
I just want to point out, I don't think anybody on staff is invested in that.
Not like, in GameStop, for sure.
Like, full disclosure, I don't think any of us got involved in that. I could have. I've been watching that for a fucking long time.
Oh, have you been seeing that thing happen? Okay.
Well, so the guy who broke The guy who broke it is a YouTuber and a Reddit user named Deep Fucking Value.
Yep. Yeah.
And he's been talking about this plan since like 2019, 2018.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's been there and it's been happening, and now is when it finally blew up. But I've been watching it like with just an eye to see if it became newsworthy for a very long time. So at any point I could have thrown down on some GameStop and I didn't because of this.
Okay. Yeah.
Like that seemed a little conflict of interest.
Same here. I was like, I'm not going to do GameStop at all. I didn't want to, you know, I mean, I just like I said, a little bit of an ethical.
Yeah. I was thinking about it and I was like, I could make a lot of money off this.
I am very curious if anybody in the games industry threw money down. I don't know. I think I wouldn't be surprised if influencers did though.
Oh, sure.
Definitely see fucking, I saw people tweeting about it nonstop. I did see folks who are writers talk. Okay. They better disclose it.
Open up Twitter. Hey, at Jeff Grubb, how much GameStop stonk did you buy and at what price?
I can guarantee you Grubb didn't buy any because he's been railing against it nonstop. And I think he's deep inside, I think he's pissed that he wasn't able to, because he knows he probably could have made a pretty penny and sent his kids to college later on in life if he did. Well, but
so that was my big thought was I'm sitting here, I was watching it start to go up, and I was just like, I could pay off my student loans.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
But
same. Yeah. I was like, oh, I could make, you know, I could buy that my eighth PS5. No, just kidding. All right, we're gonna call it a night. Let people get back to their Royal Rumbles and.
Laundry. I'm gonna
go play some laundry. I think I just heard my laundry machine beep as well. I had laundry in there too, so adulting it. All right, Aaron, it was good. Good times as usual.
Yeah, we had viewers.
Yeah, we had more viewers with just us two than anybody else.
We had chatty viewers, which is awesome.
I like that. Thank you, Taylor, Stefan, Jones. It's always good, and everybody else who joined up. Thank you, Deep Fucking Value, for logging in and being a part of this. Well, that's it. All right. Take care, Aaron. We can find you at Scratty Bones,
pretty much everywhere.
Yep.
You can find me at Twitter, YouTube. Probably not YouTube.
Not YouTube. Man. You can find me at Dolly Domofsky everywhere. And you can find us at SideQuesting everywhere, except for at
Twitch.
Twitch, just SideQuesting TV. But we're SideQuesting everywhere else. And that's it. All right. Take care, everybody. Have a wonderful Royal Rumble Sunday thing. And we'll see you later this week on another episode of The SideQuest. Peace. Toodles. Charges kill my head for the day now.